You're listening to Finding Direction, where we help people who feel lost find direction in their life. We interview the most passionate and fulfilled people and reverse engineer their life to uncover how they found direction. In doing so, we uncover strategies, tactics, and actionable steps you can apply to live a life of passion, fulfillment, and happiness. I'm your host, Stu Massengill, and thanks for listening in.
What's up, my friend? Welcome back to another episode here on Finding Direction. And I am pumped to bring you this week's episode as I sit down with a good friend. His name's Stephen Hilgart. And Stephen Hilgart, he's an international speaker. He is an entrepreneur. He is a business coach. And all in all, you'll feel it in this episode. Just someone who was genuinely honestly, an incredible human. And so you're going to feel that in this episode. Some of the things that you can expect in this episode is how Stephen in his life went from being homeless to building multiple seven-figure businesses, traveling the world. It is truly an unbelievable story that he shares on how he did that. He also talks about two questions that can help you figure out what's next for you in your life. And we also dive a little bit into the power of traveling when it comes to finding your purpose. So if you have been thinking about what's next, if you've been thinking about traveling, if you've been going through some hardships, this is absolutely an unbelievable episode for you to dive into. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that we can come and give you value every single week with our multiple episodes every single week. So if you haven't subscribed, hit that button now. And without further ado, we are going to dive right into the episode. Stephen Hilgart, welcome to the show, my man. I am excited to have this conversation.
Let's go.
Let's go indeed. So, Stephen, as we kick this thing off, I would love it if you could give our listener kind of a little bit of an idea as far as who's Stephen Hilgart, what do you do, and currently what are you up to in life now?
I'm a man of few words. I'm kidding. Okay, so I'll just start
and that's
from the
end
beginning.
Of the podcast.
No, that's it. That's all it was. So I always start out the joke with, you know, I was born kicking and screaming. I intend to leave that way. And for me, nice. That means I was in karate since I was a little kid. So, and I think I've told you this story, but I had a cousin who was a world champion kickboxer. I wanted to follow in his footsteps. So I got into karate at about 5-6 years old. I started training. I got pretty good by about 15, 16 years old. I'm flying all over the country, flying over the world. I'm fighting in the adult division. I'm winning. Huh. I'm doing really well. And for me, that was, in the martial arts, there's all sorts of different things. But the challenge is when you get really good at it, become a national champion or world champion, there's nowhere for you to go. There's not an NFL contract or NBA contract waiting for you, right?
Unfortunately.
There's only two options at the point. The UFC didn't even exist at this point. So there's two options. Either go be a movie star or open up a karate school and become a teacher. And you can take a wild guess what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I'm from Minneapolis. I moved down to Chicago where the rest of my team was training, and I signed all these, you know, contracts and stuff for these different commercials and ESPN and Midway Games and Mortal Kombat and all this stuff. It all sounds really cool and impressive until you find out I was young and dumb and signed a bunch of contracts that said they can use all my stuff and not pay me anything.
Dang.
So yeah, I'd moved to a strange city, no friends, no family, no money, no savings, no nothing. And I ended up homeless in Chicago for about 2 years. So the beginning of my journey, like, you know, and I know you have a younger audience. So people are 18, 19, 20 years old. 18 years old, I'm like, I'm going to go conquer the world. And then I went straight into being homeless for 2 years. Like, it was, you know, kind of a joke, right? But when you talk about finding direction, that was one of the best things that could have ever happened to me. Because about 2 years into that, it's February in Chicago. It's 30 below zero. I can't sleep in my car anymore where I was sleeping because it's too cold outside. I was sleeping on the floor of a karate school for the other half of the time. There's classes going on. It's like a business. Yeah. So I can't sleep there. So I'm walking through the Barnes & Noble in Naperville, Illinois, and I see a little book on the shelf called Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. And, you know, the funny part about that story is, you know, I see the book. The book is $20. And take a wild guess how much money I had in my pocket that night.
Yeah, $20.
20 freaking bucks. Too weird, you know, call it divine intervention, universe talking to me, whatever you want to call it. But I bought that book and it changed my life because it was the start of a new direction, a new journey. and it allowed me to really go out. And now at this point, I've built, you know, three businesses, all in the seven figures, $2 and $3 million each, traveled to 65 countries. I've lived in seven of them. And then, as you know, I went to work for Tony Robbins directly, you know, for the last 7-8 years now. And it was one hell of a journey. So, but a lot of twists and turns finding my direction during that time.
Wild, man. So many cool different twists and turns. And so if we go back to sort of the beginning, so when you won all these karate championships and you, you know, became in national titles, all these things, that was, you're around 18 when that happened?
Yeah. I mean, 15, 16, 17, 18. I mean, it just kept going. You know, I'd started one of the most life altering things that ever happened to me was when I was 6 or 7 years old. I was in my very first karate tournament. And for anybody who knows anything about martial arts, you know, there's the white belt where you start, and then there's usually like a gold belt next, right? Mm. And so I was level two. I was not a white belt anymore. But because I was 6 or 7 years old and I was a gold belt, you know, and this was a local tournament, there wasn't anybody for me to compete against. So they put me in a different group with two white belt girls who are my age. And I remember being 6 or 7 years old and I was like, I've got this. I'm so good at this. I'm a second level. I'm above them. These are girls. I can kick their ass. Well, take a wild guess what I took: third place, right?
Oh, no.
and I remember this. My stepmom at the time had brought me to that tournament. She's like, look at your trophy. And I was just so mad.
Yeah.
I was so angry, so upset.
Third out of three.
Yeah. Third out of three. You know, it was really impressive. Getting beat by two younger white belt girls. But that day really changed my life because I went back to karate class. And it's so funny because if someone did 10 pushups, I did 11. If someone worked out, I worked out twice.
Yeah.
Like for my entire, from 6 years old till today, like, and you've seen my work ethic personally, like I just have to do one more than anybody else. And it was, that really shaped a lot of my life. And for anyone who's trying to hit that next level, it's like, okay, if you could just do one more than the person next to you, not that it's always a competition, but at least you know that you can do one more.
Right. Yeah. It's going to give you an advantage. And so as you eventually, I'm curious, you know, you're homeless, you pick up this book, and it's kind of this, you know, the way you share the story, you go, I read this book and all of a sudden I had three companies for, you know, several million dollars. So I'm curious for you.
Overnight. That's exactly what happened.
Right. I'm curious for you. Walk us through the journey as far as you pick up this book, you're homeless, you spend your last $20 on this book, hoping that, you know, something incredible is going to happen. And I'm curious for you, like, what was the shift that came from you after you picked up and read that book that, you know, really started moving the needle to like massively change your life?
You know, there's a couple of big things there. And I remember reading them. I remember the exact place I was. I know exact. If anybody is from the Chicagoland area, Naperville, Illinois, the Fox Valley Mall, I had my car parked in the parking lot because there's nowhere else to sit. You know, it's fine. There's a whole bunch of cars here. I can park my car here and not be seen. I'm sitting in the back of the car. It's cold as hell. I've got two jackets on me as you know, blankets, just because I'm sitting there hanging out. And I'm reading the first couple of sentences in this book. I know you've read this one too, but Tony Robbins, this is the first paragraphs are him describing how he's flying his jet helicopter from his castle in Del Mar to his sold out seminar in Los Angeles. And like, my first thought was like, this a-hole, like, I can't believe, are you freaking kidding me? I've made the worst mistake of my life. This guy is just a scam artist, whatever. But I mean, it was my last $20, so I couldn't not read the book. Yeah. So I kept reading. And then he started to explain how he stopped his helicopter above a building that he worked at as a janitor just 10 years before. And one of his famous quotes is always, he says, everyone always overestimates what they can do in a year, but they underestimate what they could do in a decade. And he said, if you'll just stay with me here on this journey, if you'll just learn emotional state mastery and psychology and learn how to control yourself and develop power, if you really get this, your next 10 years are going to be dramatically different if you stick with me. And I always remember the movies where people are like shouting out to God, right? They're like, God save me. And I'm like, Tony Robbins, you know, but I made a promise. I was like, you know, if I can figure this thing out, I'm going to help as many people figure it out as possible. And that was like deep, you know, tears in my eyes, just crying my eyes out, you know, just like, I'm going to figure this out.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, when you talk about finding direction, that was such a big thing for me because I had told everyone from like 15 years old to 18 years old, everyone in high school, everyone in my family, that I was going to go be this big movie star. And not only did I believe it, everyone else believed it. They're like, oh yeah, well, duh, of course. You know, you're going to be the next Jackie Chan. You're going to be Jet Li. Yeah, you're going to be this. And I'm like, yeah, you know I am. And so, you know, a lot of people ask like 2 years, like, why would you stay homeless for 2 years? Like, cause you know, I could have got a job. I mean, Walmart's always hiring, you know, I could have done something, but I was like, so distraught because I was like, I bet everything on this one thing. And it wasn't really, I hated it. I hated the entertainment industry. I hated the people. I hated everything. Yeah. I mean, I won't name names, but I had someone I knew who would slit my throat to get a toilet paper commercial. Like, okay, you can have the toilet paper commercial. I don't care.
Yeah.
And just for me, you know, I love the name of your podcast. I'm just going to say it 8 million times, but like for me, finding direction at that point was being honest with myself and saying like, I don't really want to be in this.
Yeah.
My real passion was karate. My real passion was teaching. My real passion was coaching. I need to go open a school.
Hmm.
And so obviously that didn't happen overnight. And it's always, like you said, it's so funny. Like, okay, I read this book and everything changed overnight. No, I moved back to Minnesota. I worked 5 jobs. I slept 2 hours a night. And I did that for about 8 or 9 months. And I was just, I couldn't physically keep up anymore. It was 1 or 2 hours a night is what I was sleeping every single night.
Exhausting.
And I realized that the math wasn't going to work. And the math meaning like I needed about $100,000 to open my business, to open the karate school. I need a place. I need, you know, construction. I need mats. I need mirrors. I need, you know, computers. I needed about $100,000. And there was no way I was going to be able to save that much money, even working 5 jobs. Like, it was just not possible. And so I started asking people for investments. And at that point I was, you know, Awaken the Giant Within was my first book. My second book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Rich Dad, you know, Robert Kiyosaki, you know, fantastic book. The guy himself is interesting, fascinating, we'll say. His wife is a doll. She's incredible. I love her.
Yeah.
Now, with all that being said, he talked about, you know, how do you get investments? How do you convince people to give you the money, use other people's money to build your business? And so I asked, you know, a whole bunch of different people. First person said, no, you're an idiot. No, it's not going to work. No, it's possible. Are you kidding me? You're 20 years old. You're a dumb kid. Like, it's not. So I asked 28 people for money and the 28th person gave me the money or co-signed for the loan. And what I wasn't able to say was my relationship with my father for many years was a little bit of a, we were just too much alike. So we butted heads throughout my entire childhood. It was, it was never like, it was very strong. If you remember Red Foreman from the 70s show.
Remember that 70s?
Red, that's my dad. Perfectly. Exactly. So, you know, we just butted heads. Oh, dumbass. You know, that's all it was. But our relationship transformed when he finally said, oh, you're serious about this.
So he was the 28th person you asked.
Yeah. I'll co-sign for the loan. What I don't tell people, he was the first, the third, the seventh person as well. But those times he told me I was an idiot and it wasn't going to work.
And then after the fourth, fifth, sixth time you asked him.
After 28 people, he was 28, person number 28 again. He was like, all right, fine. And we got that loan. And, you know, I was fortunate enough. And there's a long story there too, but I was able to pay off the $100,000 loan in 5 years. I was able to pay it off in 5 months. And, we just took off and built one of the largest martial arts schools in the country. We did extremely well.
So if we go back in that for a second, so when you read the book, the big sort of light bulb was, it was almost like I've been doing something I hate. And I realized kind of at the core what it is that I'm supposed to do. And I think it's such an interesting thing for, you know, our listener today to ask yourself, like sometimes when you're doing something that it's not actually what you're supposed to be doing or not something you actually enjoy, you can get into this place of self-pity. You can get into this place of, man, like I'm not good. I'm not confident. I'm not, you know, worthy or whatever it is. But the reality is you're just in the wrong vehicle, right? You're just doing the wrong thing versus here, for example, all of a sudden you had a shift of, wait, I actually don't really like this thing. Let me go look at this other thing that I'm really passionate about. And it's all of a sudden like you, you literally became a different human being because all of a sudden you were starting to pursue something that was actually in alignment with what you wanted to pursue. And so I guess maybe a question I would have for you in that is, you know, the seed for you in that book was, wait, this isn't what I want to do. And I'm miserable in this acting sort of Hollywood world. I want to go back to being a teacher, to being in karate, to being a coach for people. I'm curious, how do you think people can start to have that own aha in their life? Like, you know, maybe our listeners listen to this right now and they're going, yeah, like, I don't feel super confident. I don't feel super alive. And it's because as they've heard from your story, it's not that they're not a confident person. It's not that they're a deserving person. It's not that they're an extraordinarily skilled person. It's that they're sitting in the wrong place right now. So like, what is a tip or nugget you would give them on how they can find that thing that's like, you know, as it did for you, almost like transformed you as a human?
Well, you know, my answer today is a lot different than it would have been 10 years ago or 15 years ago. But, okay. You know, it's so interesting that you say that because, one, I think it's about honesty, being really honest with yourself. And that's such a cheesy throwaway answer, right? But I think there's some real truth to it where someone actually says, this is what I want. Not filtering through what my parents thought I should do, or what my friends thought I should do, or what society says I should do, or what anybody else. You know, the reason I went into that whole, like, you know, we were doing like Power Rangers shows and stuff like that. The reason I did that is because all my friends were doing it. Literally, that's what it was. Like in the movies and these sitcoms where, well, all your friends are going to do it, you got to do it too. I realized that. And it took a lot of guts for me to just be honest with myself and say, you don't really want this.
Yeah.
Just stop. And I was so jaded. I was so frustrated. But here's the answer that I would give today is because, you know, 5 years later, I sold that school and I completely lost direction.
Right.
Like overnight, I lost everything. I lost all my friends. I lost my everything. Like I sold the business. I was successful. I got this fancy uptown apartment that I really wanted to. And I was, you know, I was going to live the life of my dreams and tell all my friends, hey, let's go travel. I can't, dude. I'm working. Well, okay. Do you want to go to dinner tonight? Well, no, I have dinner with my lady tonight. Well, okay. Do you want to go grab a drink afterwards? Dude, I got to work in the morning. So overnight, I lost all my friends. I lost everything. And I started to get like super depressed. Huh. And that was the first time I'd been depressed since I was like a young teenager. And I was like, what am I doing? You know, drinking way too much, just sitting around all day, walking around this fancy apartment with literally nothing to do and nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting piece because talk about finding direction. I was lost, man. It took me a while.
Internally lost, right? From the outside, you were, man, Stevens made it, right? But in the inside, it was like when you sold the company, you almost like sold your identity. Right. And now you're in this
100%. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
And I still remember, man, I would eventually on the weekends, I would wait for the weekends because my buddies could go out to the clubs and stuff. And I'd be like, okay, finally I can get out of the house. I've been sitting here like doing this. Let's go to the clubs. And, you know, we'd go talk to these pretty girls. We'd go dance. We did whatever. And inevitably the question always comes up from some lady. She comes up and says, well, so what do you do? Not much.
Yeah,
it's a real panty dropper. If you ever tried that one, that's a big deal. But you know, the funny thing for me is for my entire life, I was a martial artist. I was a martial arts instructor. Now I no longer had that identity. I was no longer that person.
Right.
And that's why I got super depressed. And I was looking for direction. I was like, where the hell do I go? Yeah. So that's when I kind of lost my mind. And I was drunk one night. I bought a one-way ticket to China because my buddy was teaching English there. And I just went. I sold everything, left everything. The guy who was managing the apartment, I was like, hey, dude, I hate to do this to you. I've paid the bill through the 6 months or whatever. I've got some furniture left over there. It's all brand new. If you clean up my apartment, you can have it for free. He's like, okay. So I literally just left everything behind and went. And that was the start of my travels.
Dang. And so
finding direction, looking for a new direction.
Right. And so you fly to China and what happens in China? I mean, were you going there to teach English like your friend? Were you, you know, going to live the cliche of I'm going to find myself through travel, or kind of what was what was your plan to refind yourself?
You know, like I said, I had a buddy who was teaching English there, and he had joked about me coming to visit. And, you know, when I sold the business, I didn't have a fortune, but I had enough to live on for a while. And so I didn't have to go to work right away. I started doing like some coaching, some consulting on the side or whatever, but I really didn't need to work. So really, I was just so frustrated. I remember sitting there having another glass of wine and, you know, finish off the bottle at the bar. And the bartender, like I'd known this bartender for a couple of years. He's like, dude, are you all right? Like, you're always happy-go-lucky. You're always cheery. And you look like really down. I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing so well. I think I need to get out of here. He's like, okay, go. And I think he was probably thinking I meant the bar. But I was like, I literally went back and I booked the flight to China. And I called my buddy on Skype at the time. Yeah. And it just so happened, just funny coincidence, he happened to be drunk too. I was like, hey, you remember that time you told me I could come see you? He's like, yeah, man, anytime. I'm like, can you pick me up at the airport in 36 hours? He's like, what? Yeah. So I ended up staying with him. And I actually found a Muay Thai school there. I was training with that for a while and just hanging and just exploring the city. I went to Beijing, Shanghai, Jinan. I stayed there for several months. And then from there, I had another buddy who was in Latvia, Eastern Europe. And I was like, hey, I can come see you. And I just started going, man.
Yeah. Love it. And so in that chapter of your life, how many places did you end up going? How long did you travel? How long did that sort of period last?
So I always get a little mixed up on what year that was. But when I went to Latvia, my buddy that was there, he and I ended up being business partners. We started a new business together. And that was the second one that kind of blew up. And of course, it was a very natural progression to go from karate school to offshore asset protection and corporate services. Yeah, right. You can see the connection. I couldn't either, but it ended up working that way. My skill set was like, I knew how to sell, I knew how to market, and I learned everything about that business. It always sounds really scary, like Jason Bourne and James Bond, second passports, offshore bank accounts, and like all. And really, it just ended up being really boring because it was like doctors from the US who wanted to retire to Costa Rica.
Right.
Like they wanted to sell their thing and move down there. Well, okay, you need an offshore bank account to pay your bills in Costa Rica. You need a residency program to be able to live there without getting arrested. Like, you know, it's, so it ended up being a really successful business. We did really well with that. But through that, we would host seminars all over the world. We would travel together. We would do things. So, I mean, like I said, it was about 65 different countries. It all becomes a bit of a blur after a while. But
it was a mixture of growing the second business to seven figures. And on top of that, also sort of having like a mastermind where you were doing seminars, retreats, and things of that sort.
Yeah. So there was like the services part of that business. And then we had a seminar part of the business where it was, we called it Global Escape Hatch because it would always sound really cool and scary and all that good stuff.
Yeah. You know?
So it was a lot of fun and we got to meet a lot of really interesting people.
So
it was a good time.
So that was second business. Then what's business number three? So you do offshore accounts, you're doing that for a while. And then when do you eventually go to number three?
Yeah. A couple of years later, I was just so burnt out because that business, the marketing of it is very fear-based, negativity-based, which, I mean, you know me, I'm so positive. I'm like, let's go do it. We can do it. And this, you know, you're all of these people who are into that, I don't know what would you call it? Like that type of business, that type of stuff. Like if someone says, I need a second passport, it's because they think that their passport isn't good enough or something's going to happen where they need to get out of the country or they need to leave. You know, the real benefit of having a second passport, just side note, is like, if you want to do business in Europe, we as Americans, we can't. Hmm. We're not allowed to unless you had residency or citizenship there.
Then you could.
And for most countries around the world, you need to be a citizen to do business there.
Right.
So like if you and I want to do business in London, you can't, you know?
Gotcha.
Okay. So it becomes an interesting thing, but you know, those businesses together involved a lot of travel. And at that point, you know, we were traveling all the travel part was fun, but what wasn't fun was like, hey, the dollar is going to crash. You got to buy gold. You got to do this. If you're not preparing yourself, you know, the government is spying on you, like all of these things, which, you know, it all ends up being true, but who wants to think about that all day, every day, And so it's just so burnt out. And that was another thing where I was like, okay, I need to find my direction.
Yeah.
And again, my skill set was marketing. So it's like, I'll tell you what, I'll just go do marketing. Like, why don't I just help some other businesses?
Got it.
And my first couple of clients came from that business and I helped them build their business, whether they were selling, you know, a lot of these guys were selling international investments. Like they would build a hotel in Panama and they would pre-sell the hotel. That was their investment. Gotcha. And you can buy a piece of the hotel.
Okay. So number three essentially was helping people at kind of like marketing consultation.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to be a gun for hire. Gotcha. And so if you had a business and you wanted to sell something, like I would help you sell it better and I would take my cut and I would move on to the next one.
Heck yeah. Okay, cool. So you start doing that, crush it again, kind of summarizing some of these more than the actual journey in which they were.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm curious, after business three, what eventually, you know, you've built three businesses, you've been very successful. You've traveled all over the world. You've had quite the, you know, journey of literally homeless to, you know, seven-figure businesses. And at what point does the seed sort of come into your mind where it goes, you know what? I've been doing all this stuff. I've been helping people grow their businesses. I'm going to go speak and travel the country for Tony Robbins. Like, when did that seed sort of come in? Because I know, obviously, that's how you and I got connected, was through the Tony Robbins world. But where was that? Where did that come from?
Another interesting story. And I was in Latvia and I had been doing this thing. I don't think you can do this anymore. I was playing what's called the passport game. I had two passports, duplicate passports, and I had all my entrance stamps on one and all my exit stamps on another. Huh. So no one really knew whether it was coming or going. And when I came across border security, whatever, they're like, this is weird, whatever, here you go. So I had been in Europe for longer than I was allowed to be there.
Oh.
You know, and so my visa was up and my passports were both full, like literally full. And I couldn't go renew it because if I renewed it, then they'd know. So I had to come back to the States for at least 90 days. And I knew that was coming in a couple of weeks. I was like, all right, I better go. I'll go home. I'll go back to Minnesota. I'll hang out with the family. I'll see what's going on there. But at that point, I was so burnt out again. I had a couple just horrible clients. They owed me so much money. And I, you know, the business became bill collecting instead of doing what I'm good at, which is marketing. Like I made them a bunch of money and they promised to give me a percentage of how much more I made them. And, you know, when I kind of stopped, I was owed about $800,000. And needless to say, I was a little frustrated.
For sure.
And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, what do I do? And it came down to two questions. And actually, this would probably be valuable for the folks listening or whatever. The number one thought is like, if I knew I couldn't fail, what would I do? Hmm. And for me, that was always like personal development. I want to be that voice. You know, because when I started studying Tony Robbins, Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Dennis Waitley, I mean, name it, like Les Brown, all these guys, I memorized every audio program they put out, every cassette tape, every CD, every book. I went to every seminar I could, like literally I did all of it. And I always wanted to be that voice for the next generation. Like, okay, like, you know, and I know it's not the same these days. It's like, okay, someone's driving in their car, listen to a cassette tape. Like, I want to be that guy on the cassette tape that's helping people. And so I said that number one is like, okay, if I knew I couldn't fail, what would I do? I do personal development. And then the second thing I said is, if I'm being honest with myself, I never failed at anything that I didn't quit. Hmm. Like karate, I should have quit a long time ago. I was the smallest. I was the weakest. I have zero talent whatsoever. But because that six-year-old little thing that happened to me, where I was doing one more, I ended up outworking everybody. And I got better because there was people plenty more talented than me. I mean, it was unbelievable what some people could do with their bodies. I'm like, holy hell. But I would still win just because I outworked them.
Right.
And then from that zone, I'm like, I'm sitting there thinking, okay, I built the karate school to be one of the biggest in the country. Like, okay, I didn't fail at that. And why didn't I fail? Well, I just didn't quit. Because there was a lot of setbacks. There's a lot of months where I'm like, oh my God, like I don't have rent. My rent's 20 grand a month. Like, how the hell am I going to do this? Like, I don't know what's going to happen. So there was that. And then there was the offshore business. And then there was the travel. And then there's all these things. And I just recognized this pattern that, like, you know, it sounds like kind of corny. Like, yeah, you don't actually fail at something until you quit it.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was sitting there thinking, okay, if I'm really going to go do this, I'm going to go be in personal development. What's the best way to do it? Well, every time when I got good at martial arts, I found the best people. I went and trained with them. I paid for private lessons. I did whatever I could. When I wanted to open a karate school, I found two of the best school owners in the country. I flew out to see them. I hung out with them. I learned from them. You know, when I wanted to learn marketing, I learned from Jay Abraham and Chet Holmes and all these other people. Like I tracked them. I was stalking people for my whole life, you know? And I was like, if I want to be in personal development, who's the best in personal development? Tony Robbins.
Yeah.
Rewind a little bit. In the offshore business at one of our seminars, Tony's doctor came to one of our conferences and he had told me, he was like, hey, look, you love Tony Robbins. Like, why don't you go? They're looking for people. And I believe this is when Jarek was just leaving, Jarek, Tony's son.
Yeah.
He was just leaving that role. And he's like, they're looking for people. Why don't you go? And I was like, nah. You know, we're sipping mojitos on the beach. I don't need to work right now. Yeah. We're having way too much fun traveling and all this stuff. Like, I don't want to do that. Him and his wife had come to Latvia to finish some business with us. And I remember sitting in a cafe with them and they're both like, hey, you got to go. Tony Robbins, you got to do this. Yeah. You got to do this. So that little seed was planted.
Right.
And then here I am trying to figure out my life. And I'm like, maybe I could just ask him and see, maybe I can throw in my resume or whatever. And there was one gentleman that, really, really good friend of mine. I met in Latvia. He became a really close friend of mine. He was like the head of HR for L'Oreal in Europe. And he just said, you need to go. Yeah. Like, I want you to hang out with me here, but this is your dream. You need to go. Leave. I was like, oh, okay. So I took that advice. I went in, put in my resume. And that was when I think you met Brooke as well.
Yeah.
Brooke was gracious enough to give me a shot. And that turned out to be a hell of a journey.
Yeah. So, dang, it's a crazy journey to get there. And I think for, you know, the person listening to this right now, those questions you asked are gold for someone to ask themselves if they're feeling lost in their journey, right? It's like, what would you do if you knew you could not fail, right? And the second one was the pattern you recognized for yourself was, if you don't quit, you're not going to fail. And I think one thing that's really interesting for the person listening to this right now is to ask themselves, okay, like what is the thing you would do if you knew you couldn't fail? And then just like you were, you know, Tony Robbins is the best, you're going to go learn from him first, asking that same question of, okay, if you have an interest in, you know, sustainability, if you have an interest in, you know, something you would do if you couldn't fail would be, you know, professional sports or whatever it is, like asking yourself, who is the go-to person in that industry, right? That you can go learn from, study from, maybe work for, right? You're really going to learn from them if you work for them, but who's that person? And that can be an incredible way to take that next step in your journey is finding the person that's sort of the, you know, expert or mogul or whoever it is in the thing that you're interested in. And if you go learn from them and it's something you're interested in, like that's going to allow you to create a passion and a fire inside of you. And one other thing that I think is, again, so many pieces from this, but like you said, there was that seed that was planted two times before you really took that initial step. And I think for the person listening to this, it's like, you want to ask yourself, like, what's a seed that was planted in your mind that you kind of brushed off, that you kind of pushed away, that you kind of like, no, you know what? That doesn't make sense. Or it's not realistic. Or like, you know, it didn't seem practical. It's like, what was one of those seeds that maybe you need to water a little bit, right? Because it could turn into an incredible piece of your life, right? It's like those seeds are, they hold so much in them, right?
It's funny when you talk about, like at the very beginning, we were talking like, okay, how do you find direction? Like, wait, how do you know that it was there? Like when you shut up all the other voices and you just listen to those little seeds, that was like, I mean, you said it so brilliantly that, you know, when you're alone by yourself and there's no other influence and there's nothing there. And I got to say, I learned that from traveling. I learned to be comfortable with that little voice inside of my head. And that voice is insane. Like, I get it. Like, I'm a weirdo. But being comfortable sitting by myself in some city in Europe and having a coffee for 3 hours, like, you just hear that voice and being comfortable with that voice saying, this is who I am. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to go without any outside influence. And those seeds, like you said, I just brushed it off because clearly nobody could do that. I could never go work for Tony Robbins. Right. I mean, it's Tony Robbins. That was the same thought that I had, but I kept reminding myself, haven't failed, haven't failed, haven't failed, haven't failed. Put it in. And then I think you know a little bit of the story too, because that's a long story. Yeah. I got rejected for 6 months. You know, I got told no. I gave up everything I was doing to come work for Tony. And I'm like, no, what do you mean no?
Yeah.
Like, no, no.
That's not part of the journey. Yeah.
No. So I had to fight pretty hard to get that role. And I, you know, basically, this is a little bit of a metaphor and it's silly, but you know, I started as a janitor, worked my way up, you know?
Yeah.
So
for real. And did extraordinarily well. Right.
Yeah.
Once you got your foot in the door and yeah, I think, you know, I mean, we could spend so much time here, but I love what you said too. It's like part of figuring out your direction and finding direction in life. It is learning to get comfortable with that little voice in your head. Right. I remember I lived alone by myself the last year or so. And before that, you and I both went to Chicago for a bit, and it was the first time I lived by myself ever. And given I was only there for about 3 weeks and then COVID happened. But, you know, in that first week, I remember being in my own place living by myself, and it was like, whoa, like nobody's here to talk to. Like I'm eating my cereal and nobody, like it's just me and my thoughts. And this is pretty weird. But it's like if you do get comfortable with that voice inside of you and you learn to make a friend of it, right? Unfortunately, I think for some people that voice is, you know, not a friendly voice. But if you can learn to build a relationship with that voice and get to know it, it's like, if you can, like you said, just sit in a room, get quiet, let the other noise go for a second and really just sit with yourself. We are such wise humans if we just allow ourselves to guide ourselves. And it's almost like, you know, part of finding your direction is ripping off all the walls and all the crap and all the things that are just stopping you from just letting yourself guide yourself, right? And if you can just strip those things away and just say, you know what, like, where am I supposed to go? And you just let, you know, that voice guide you, you let your inner knowingness take you where you're supposed to go. It's like, you'll go exactly where you're supposed to go. And it's a skill. So one thing I would love to ask you in that, and then, you know, we'll start to really wrap up here, but is like, what are a few tactics, skills, I don't know, things someone listening to this can do to build a better relationship with that voice, so that they can get quiet and really listen to that?
It's an interesting question. I don't think I've ever been asked that, but my one definitive answer, honestly, is travel. And I know that sounds a long stretch of road will teach you more than anything else in your life. And if you just go, and you know, I get it. The immediate response, well, I can't, I got responsibilities. I got an apartment. I got to pay for this. I got to pay for that. I got school. I got this. I got that. You know, all that shit's going to be there for you when you get back.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks it's the end of the world. If I go backpacking for a while, if I go do this, if I go do that, yeah, it's all going to be there. Life is so short.
Yeah.
You know, the best of us, we're going to get 100 years. The best of us.
Yeah.
Maybe. You know, I fully intend to be a robot, like, you know, cyborg. I can't wait for that. So like a couple of 100 years for me, everyone else 100 years. But, you know, the funny thing, I heard this the other day and I can't even remember who said it, but you live for 100 years and then you're dead forever. Forever is a long time for you not to go run over to Costa Rica for a month. You know, like, come on, you know, do something, travel. But I think it's one of the biggest issues that we have, even in the US these days, is that 98% of people, whatever, never leave their state. They never leave their city. They never, and that's a bit of an exaggeration, but it's something like 70% of people. Yeah, maybe it's, what is it, 80 live within 3 miles of where they were born. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you've never, you know, let's talk about, you know, these other countries where they're having this problem, that problem. I have a great opinion. You've never even been there. You've never even met these people. And it just gives you a completely different perspective of what you want in your life. What's possible? You know, if you're talking about the younger audience, someone is 25 and they're like, they've just been told, go to school, get your degree, get your job, go, you know, do whatever. And they've never experienced the world. They don't know what menu is available for them to say, well, you know, I really like this, or I really like that. You know, I did a workshop just this morning. We're talking about what are your goals and what are you after? And I think so many people just see Instagram and they're like, I want a Lamborghini, but it's because someone else wanted a Lamborghini. Right. I did the same thing. I was like, I want a Lamborghini and I'm a car guy. No, I'm not. I don't care.
Yeah.
But you know, the travel, it took me the travel to realize that, like, I want experiences. I want simplicity. I want this and that. I want to make a lot of money. I want to build businesses, but I want to give. I want to contribute. I want to build stuff. So, I mean, strategies, tactics, honestly, I mean, if someone traveled for a while and like really traveled and experienced the world and not just like, let's go to a 5-star resort in, you know, some tourist, you know, no, go to a, you know, back alley bar in Morocco and, you know, hang out really with locals, you know, really experience it, really see who people are.
Yeah.
And I mean, that'll teach you more about yourself than anything else, I think.
Amen to that. Traveling is, I agree, one of the best ways to get to know yourself. Also, just like a shameless plug, I guess. When I started traveling, one of the things I would use to do it because I didn't have a lot of money was there's a company, it's called Scott's Cheap Flights. And basically they send you discounted airfare to all over the country. So I would use that. One of the first times I went to Europe from California, it was $200 round trip from California to Barcelona. Yeah. And it's like,
that's incredible.
You know, it's like the big excuse a lot of times to not travel. It's like, well, I don't have the money. I don't have, you know, whatever. But it's like, if you get a $300 trip to, you know, another country, pull the trigger, right? Go. So for anybody listening to this that wants to travel, go check Scott's Cheap Flights out. 100%, you know, an easy way to go travel for free or cheap.
It's so much cheaper than people realize. And especially, I mean, if you're not locked down with like a lease and a mortgage and apartment and car payments, especially for the younger people right now who are like, I can't afford a house. Good. Like, let it sit there. It'll be there for you in a couple of years when the prices come down. Like, cool. I literally got a text message from one of my friends. She told me, she said, hey, nice to hear from you. I haven't talked to you in a while. Just want to let you know I'm going to France for a month. I'm like, you're going to France for a month? What the hell? She got so this giant villa, $1,500 for the month. Giant villa with a view of the city, like just on the water. Yeah. Like it's like unbelievable what she got. This is definitely like a $10,000 a month place and she got it for $1,500. Like travel is really inexpensive if you just
gotta get out there.
Yeah.
For real. Love it, man. Well, Steven, we could be here for a long, long, long time. But, you know, I want to respect your time and thank you first and foremost for being here. I'm curious if other people want to hang out with you, see what you're up to. They're like, man, Steven is the man and I just need to be around this dude. Where's the best place for people to find you, hang out with you and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I'm shifting all of my focus and all of my energy to YouTube now. So YouTube, Steven Hilgart, you can find me. As you can see, I'm rebuilding my studio behind me. So there's wires and lights and computers and stuff hanging all over the place. So it'll look pretty cool when it's done next week. But I'm going to put all my energy onto YouTube. So come hang out with me there.
Love it. Perfect, perfect. And so my last question for you, we ask this for all our guests because we want to help people find direction, but do it through action, is what would you say is one thing someone listening to this can do in the next 24 to 48 hours to start finding direction in their life?
Again, challenging question. One thing that they can do, I mean, journaling is a big deal. That's a nice one. I think that's a throwaway answer though. Travel is the answer that I gave. Maybe you can't do that tomorrow, but at least plan for next week. Jeez, take a long weekend somewhere, go somewhere and do something. But if I were to give you one more piece, is just start educating yourself in the world of personal development, personal growth. Try to read more and understand more about your psychology, who you are as a person and where you can get that from. And go through that. The old books, not this new crap that's all over Instagram and TikTok and people trying to tell you, you know, their entire journey of personal development is how you should treat women poorly. Like, oh, God, come on, give me a break. But I mean, old books, Jim Rohn, Tony Robbins, Brian Tracy, Dennis Waitley, these people who just really cared about people, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Yeah. I mean, these old books, Think and Grow Rich, that's where I would start with everybody. Cause I think we need to bring back some of the basics in just how to be happy.
Yeah. Love it, man. Well, Steven, thank you again for being here, man. It's been an absolute joy. The pleasure's been all mine. So thank you so much for sharing your wisdom, your journey, and we massively appreciate you coming on the show.
My pleasure.
Thank you so much for listening in today. I hope you've enjoyed the episode and can take away some ideas and start acting on them in your life. If you got value out of this episode, please do me one huge favor and leave a review or share this with a friend who it could help. Your reviews and shares help us bring great content and more episodes to you, so we are extremely grateful for that. If you want to go one step further, shoot me a DM on Instagram, and I'd love to chat and see how this has impacted you. It's Stu Massengill on Instagram. Also, share it on your story, tag me, and let me know what you're enjoying most so I can bring more of that to you. Our goal here is to help you live your dream life. So if you have any feedback or comments, please let us know so we can achieve our ultimate goal and help as many people as possible. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.